This is Ryan Satin, the editor-in-chief of ProWrestlingSheet.com, and this is another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 84. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan the Brain Benjamin.
And this is another wrestling podcast. Guys, gals, and children of all ages, welcome. Jonathan, this is another wrestling podcast. What can I expect today?
Well, you can expect a present. It is the holiday season for everybody out there. So my present to you is a great show.
Well, Jonathan, my present to you is another great interview. Jonathan, we are 84 episodes and 84 consecutive weeks of guests week after week. Jonathan, I think we're the only show that has had a guest every single week since the beginning of their show. I'm just going to throw that out there in case you didn't know that, guys. That's a little factoid of AWP. And Jonathan, we're going to keep that streak going with Ryan Satin this week. He's a former TMZ producer. You've seen him on shows like TMZ. And he has his own ProWrestlingSheet.com out where you guys can find news, wrestling news, no clickbait. They're not trying to get you to click on this to get some money. He's going to tell you the news like it is. And he's going to be joining us in a little bit. And he's going to tell us, like it is, Jonathan. So here you go. Another present for you.
Well, that's awesome to have Ryan on the show today. And Steve, you are just the gift that keeps on giving. So
that's what I was told.
Well, I don't know by who, but that's all right. I figured today we're talking with somebody who used to work in TMZ. He is now kind of putting out a lot of breaking news and talking about wrestling. And there's that line there. It kind of gets blurred sometimes. The real life and professional wrestling. So I thought it'd be cool to talk today about when storylines become all too real. So maybe a storyline that started out in wrestling but then carried over into real life. So I think we should talk about some of those moments. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm doing here? Or
this is real, right? This is real life.
Yeah, this is real life.
I'm with you. I get it. Jonathan, I go back to one moment, and it all goes back to the thou shall not be named Chris Benoit. And let me get this out. I'm not talking about what he did or anything, but Jonathan, it was the most obvious thing to where the week before this happened, Vince McMahon was killed off in the limo. It blew up. Vince McMahon was gone. Bye, Vince. We move on. Week later, fast forward, the stuff happened with Chris Benoit and the tragic accident and whatnot. And literally, Vince McMahon is on TV the next night explaining, this and that. And yeah, that was, I thought, funny, not what happened funny, obviously, but just funny how it's like, hey, we killed him off. And then, hey, I'm back next week to say, hey, this is a real life event that happened. We have to acknowledge this. And I was laughing at that, but not, once again, I don't need any hate mail at what happened with Vince McMahon and the whole trying to kill him off kind of a thing.
Yeah, so obviously with that, it was a PR nightmare for them. It was just crazy because they had probably put months and months and months into this storyline about the death of a character, and then they turn right around and there was a legitimate death from a couple wrestlers. So I'm sure that had WWE just going crazy, and it was very strange all around the time when that was happening, because no one really knew what was going to happen. I remember people on Facebook and social media really thought that Vince McMahon had died, And it was just one of those crazy storylines, and obviously it couldn't have not worked out any better than it had. So,
Well, Jonathan, I want to cut you off right there, but it got better because not only did Vince McMahon come on TV and say what happened, but they had a freaking tribute to Chris Benoit before they even knew what he did. And it was pretty much glorifying him as a person. And then literally the next day they found out that he murdered his family. And it was like, crap, we have to now apologize for not even knowing the facts of what happened and giving him pretty much a glorified Chris Benoit tribute show. And that's what put the icing on the cake for that whole live, real life scenario, I guess you could say.
Well, you just ruined cake for me. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No more cake.
Well, speaking of cake, I think another one that should be mentioned would be back in the 90s, the Attitude Era, when you had Triple H had taken the helm of DX. Shawn Michaels was out of the picture, and it was kind of Triple H and DX taking on Vince McMahon. So what better way to get back at the boss than fake marrying his daughter. If you remember, now this is why people are complaining about there being no Attitude Era today. He slipped something in Stephanie McMahon's drink. He drugged her and took her to a Las Vegas wedding chapel and mimed her voice and got married. And that started the McMahon Helmsley era in WWE. But what came from that was that they actually started dating, much to the chagrin of Vince and most of the family. But then they actually ended up dating and getting married in real life. So this is one of those things that you have to wonder if they hadn't started this storyline, if they would have actually gotten married in real life. So this is definitely one of those that started in the, you know, pretend storyline mode and then carried over into real life. Do you remember much of that time?
Oh yeah. That was pretty – another hilarious thing going through the chapel and all that stuff. It's funny how it turned out because at that time, you know, it's a storyline. Of course, we know it's not real. And then they actually did get married. Then I don't know. I wasn't that old, so I didn't really, you know, think of it too much. Then I'm thinking, well, did they really get married, or is this just more part of the storyline? And it's kind of, you know, just blended together. You know, real life met fiction, or nonfiction. So, you know,
I think one of the coolest things about that too was that if you watch the McMahon DVD that WWE put out, Stephanie said that he literally asked if they could put the wedding on pay-per-view. Like, that's what Vince thinks. Like, he thinks, oh, well, Stephanie and Triple H are going to get married, then I can make a buck off of this or whatever. So they obviously didn't do that, but I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. It's interesting, though, because it's just like, you know, you're writing for a show or you're doing this show for TV, and it's just amazing how, you know, like, these things happen to where real life comes into play. What do? You know, you work around it, you write it into the real life, and hey, I guess that's the wrestling business, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you have to look back at some of these things that we're going to talk about, and I encourage, you know, any of you, if you're listening to this right now, you know, send us a tweet, let us know what your favorite real life storyline was at A Wrestling Pod. That's A Wrestling POD. But I think what happens sometimes is that there's some real good things that can come from these real life storylines. They always talk about wrestlers that they say, you know, well, I'm that person just with the volume turned up. So if you put, and you know, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking the Edge and Matt Hardy thing, that made both of those guys' careers skyrocket after the whole love triangle with Lita. So I'm sure at the time, none of them were a big fan of that, but you know, after they started to look at the checks rolling in, they probably thought, you know what, this isn't so bad right now.
Man, it is funny. And Jonathan, I know you're probably going to kill me for saying it, but Bret Hart.
Oh, my God.
Bret Hart, man.
Is your goal, like, we've had 84 shows. Is your goal to mention Bret Hart at least once a show?
I'm really hoping that we can have a Bret Hart-themed show because I think we can definitely knock out at least 4 or 5 hours totally in one day, at least part one, at least. So, but no, seriously, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, you know, besides the whole screw job and whatnot, they definitely had a lot of fighting a little bit before that. Jonathan, do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember there being some rumblings. This was like an early kind of dirt sheet type thing that I saw where, you know, Shawn Michaels and Bret really didn't like each other behind the scenes. And there was a lot of people that were talking about them actually getting, you know, physical with each other backstage, getting into fights, and, you know, just that kind of one-upsmanship. But
It was definitely the classic promo, too. I forget. It was on Raw. It was a promo about the match coming up, I think, at Survivor Series, I want to say. And that's where, you know, Shawn Michaels dropped the Sunny Days bomb to where, at home, nobody really had any idea. It was like, uh-huh, what? But it was pretty much Shawn knocking Bret for, you know, accusing him for sleeping with Sonny.
Yeah, which got him in, like, deep crap with his whole family because people, I don't know if he was married at the time or had a girlfriend or whatever, but, I mean, obviously that would have got you into some hot water. And I think that's what really led to them having a real, like, knockdown dragout backstage. And I heard that Bret, like, literally ripped some of Shawn Michaels' hair from the scalp due to this fight. So that's probably a pretty rough thing that would have happened there. And, you know, once again, it pushed those guys to the limit, and they were trying to outdo each other and be the best. And I think that without the two of them doing what they did, then, you know, wrestling definitely would have suffered back then at that time.
Man, Jonathan, this is kind of only kind of what we know. I mean, I wonder how many times real life has come into to play in a lot of these stories, promos or whatever, to where maybe we didn't really know about it. You know what I mean? So granted, we've heard all this stuff online. Now with social media, you know, everybody knows something out there and they want to get it out there first. But I mean, throughout the years, even going back to the 80s, 90s, that time period, to where maybe things were happening, and even in a promo, because, like, I always think about it, like, okay, me and you were going to have a match, Jonathan. We have a pay-per-view coming up. Now we got to go out and do a promo, but I don't like you. You know what I mean? Granted, this is make-believe. But, you know, I don't like you. I'm going out there, but we're working together, and I have to do a promo. And I wonder, like, how many promos of yesteryear or whatever happened to where I'm going out there, I'm still trying to do business, I'm still trying to, you know, keep it going, and obviously I'm just saying things to just really piss you off, and I'm making it part of my promo, but, you know, when you come back there, you're like, why would you say these things? But then I could just argue, well, you know, I just wanted to get you fired up kind of a thing, you know what I mean? All in all, what I'm trying to say is, like, I wonder how many times that it's happened to where, you know, guys have, you know, just threw things in there that somebody just hated, and, you know, just to get the other guy riled up, and I wonder how many, you know, countless stories we just don't hear about all the time.
Well, I mean, look at what just happened recently with the whole, you know, Paige and Charlotte thing. That was written apparently by a WWE writer or someone from creative to mention Charlotte's, you know, brother who passed away. You know, that's kind of a real thing to get in there, but it got everybody talking. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong or whatever, but I think that, you know, that really to get real feeling to these wrestling shows, wherever you're at, you know, a little bit of that real life has to get in there. And I remember another one just off the top of my head that I can think about is when CM Punk was going against Jeff Hardy right before Jeff Hardy left the WWE.
Yeah.
And he just kept hammering him about his drug, his past drug abuse. And I just couldn't believe it because it was real. Everybody knew that Jeff Hardy had struggled with drug abuse. And, you know, CM Punk is, you know, straight edge, and he makes no bones about it and tells everybody. But it just kept going and going, and it got somewhat uncomfortable because, you know, Jeff Hardy is, you know, he's living it. Like, he's going through it probably still as they're talking about it. So it had to be rough for them. And, you know, speaking of CM Punk, I think another huge real life thing that happened that, you know, was started out as a storyline was the Punk's pipe bomb. You know, if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and look it up. And, you know, a lot of people question whether it was scripted, the promo, or if it was, you know, a true shoot, as they call it. But you know, most people seem to think that Punk was told, you know, go out there, say some things, and you know, we have your back or whatever. But in his pipe bomb, you know, in 2011, he talked about, you know, how the company's going to get taken over by his doofus daughter and son-in-law, and how that, you know, creative is stifling, and, you know, they keep the good people down. And really, in 2014, just a few years later, he left the WWE due to many of those things that he was complaining about. So it was kind of like a scripted promo turned into real life. So,
man, and that's what made great television, too. Like, regardless of what he said, whether you love it or hate it, you know, promos like that, man, from the gut are so good and so lacking in today's wrestling. I think sometimes things are too scripted out to where, you know, guys are trying to remember their lines and can't just go with it. You know what I mean? Instead of going out there with bullet points of, you know, okay, we gotta, you know, you gotta say this about CM Punk. Bring up that he's going to UFC, and, you know, make sure you drop the mic at the end. You know, instead of going out there with bullet points, these guys are trying to remember a freaking script of line for line, word for word, because it's so scripted today. And that pipe bomb, that promo, man, it was so golden, because as you're watching it, you're like, this is real. You know what I mean? Like, this is happening right now. I can't believe I'm witnessing this. Man, and you can't write that anymore. You can't do that. You know what I mean? And, like, oh, it's such great it's such great TV. Like, I could watch that over and over again, and you just get, like, goosebumps from listening to it, just because of how authentic it is, just how on the spot it is, and, you know, it's real. It's real television. This is what's happening live right now, and, man, that's one of the things that just made it great, mixing that reality into these kind of scripted shows.
Yeah, and, I mean, somebody who was never at a loss for words, obviously, and this is another kind of golden era of wrestling, but the Austin McMahon feud, that whole thing, you know, it started out no problem. You know, Austin and Vince were, you know, talking about this stuff, I'm sure, backstage, and saying, do this, do that, whatever. But then, you know, you get around Austin quit the WWE in about 2002 due to some personal differences, creative issues with Vince McMahon. So, you know, you have this on-air feud that's made everybody millions of dollars. You know, Austin becomes the top-selling guy of all time, you know, and a pop culture icon. McMahon was probably just thrilled. But then, you know, Austin goes on and he says that he was burnt out and that it shouldn't have happened the way it happened. And, you know, he's paid his price for what happened in 2002. But, you know, if you're not familiar with it, Vince wanted Austin to kind of lose to Brock Lesnar on Raw for a King of the Ring, you know, quarterfinals match or whatever. Austin seemed to think that it should have happened on a pay-per-view, that they could have made a lot of money off of it, and he was confused as to why. And so in the infamous speech, Stone Cold took his ball and went home. But these are, I'm sure, like you said earlier, Steve, like thousands of these things have happened. These are just kind of some of the ones that we could think of off the top of our heads. But, you know, we really, you know, if you follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, any of that, just, you know, send us a message. Let us know. You can call our hotline, too. We have our very own hotline. It's 1-802-297-7672. And again, that is 1-802-AWP-7672.
That's right, Jonathan. And speaking of reality, we have a guy coming on right now, former TMZ producer, current CEO of ProWrestlingSheet.com, bringing the reality of journalism in wrestling to the forefront, Jonathan. And well, let's get him in here and we'll talk to him. And right now, let's welcome Ryan Satin. All right, we have another amazing show today. Our guest is a former TMZ reporter, a lifelong wrestling fan, and current CEO of ProWrestlingSheet.com. But most importantly, somebody who is making wrestling journalism a real thing. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Ryan Satin. Ryan, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Can't complain. Just busy, you know?
Definitely.
Now, Ryan, as we mentioned, you're a huge wrestling fan. Do you remember that moment that got you hooked on wrestling?
My dad works in the entertainment industry, and when I was really young, what first kind of got me interested in it as a young kid was he worked for USA on a TV show called Rhonda Shear Up All Night. Mm-hmm. And Rhonda Shear got to do like some interviews at – it was one of the WrestleManias. I forget which one that was out here when I was young. And my dad got to do some stuff at it. And I got to walk through the locker room, and it was just so weird seeing all these characters, and like they were hanging out with each other, but then some were in character, but some weren't. And then we got to go to, I guess what would be known now is like the gorilla position, but we got to kind of hang out in that area for a second. And I got to talk to these two wrestlers, my brother and I, and I didn't know who they were at the time, but they were so nice to me. And they were just like, how's your day going? Like, are you guys enjoying the show? Like, great. Thank you so much. And then they were like, hey, you know what? Our music just started. We got to go. It was really nice meeting you. We're like, thank you. They kick the door in, and they start walking out all angrily and yelling at the crowd all mean. And it was actually Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna. And... And they were like the nicest people ever, even though they looked all scary, and they were the coolest people. And I was like, wow, this place is awesome. This is really cool. And so I started watching then, but it was much more casually then because my dad's always been a fan. But the time I really got hooked was when Mick Foley got thrown off the Hell in a Cell. It was like a neighbor showed my brother and I on a VHS, like something crazy that had just happened on pay-per-view. And I remember my brother and I were just like, holy crap, we got to start watching this. And we watched it ever since.
Sure. Wow. All right. Well, did you have any fan favorites growing up? I mean, was there one or two guys that, you know, were your go-to guys watching it back then?
I was always a big DX fan. My brother was like a big rock fan, and I was always like the DX fan. Like Stone Cold and DX were just like, I love those guys back in the day. I mean, DX to me was just like, it was just like, so in your face and like nothing I had ever actually seen before on television, especially because I was so young. And it was just all the stuff they were doing, from the suckets to the sexual innuendos to the just awesome matches. Like, man, like I remember watching Triple H versus The Rock at SummerSlam, the Highway to Hell one and a ladder match, and just being like, this is the best, you know. And I, you know, people love to give Triple H crap, but I just remember as a kid I was the biggest Triple H fan when he was in DX until he stabbed us all in the back and turned corporate.
There you go.
Now, obviously you were in the minority as a wrestling fan at TMZ. Do you remember the first wrestling story that you pitched to Harvey?
Well, I don't remember that. I just remember the first wrestling story that I worked on, because I wasn't even on the news desk yet, mm-hmm. but I was on the TV show at the time. But I was just like a PA and a production assistant for the TV show. And I was on the show as well. And everyone knew I liked wrestling. And when Umaga passed away, they kind of came to me and were like, hey, do you know about any of this stuff? And I was like, yeah, I know about all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I helped out a little bit, like, you know, sending them tweets of what wrestlers were saying, like, you know, rest in pieces and, you know, RIPs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And started, like, you know, hitting up, like, a few wrestlers I wanted to talk to. It was kind of my first time I had really kind of made a few, like, times where I reached out to a few wrestlers and things of that nature to kind of try and get a story or something on, like, them being, you know, doing some sort of tribute to Umaga. And then after that, it was shortly after that when I finally got a opportunity to work on the news desk as a PA on the news desk. So then I'm trying to remember what the very first wrestling story that I actually pitched to them was. I don't know. I just remember that when I first started, the only time they really cared about any wrestling stories was when it was like when someone passed away, or if someone got, suspended for a drug test or something along those lines. And then I just remember that, you know, they always stressed at TMZ to all the newer people that you should, you know, you should latch on to some sort of niche thing that is popular and own that niche. You know, if you want to work on that niche, then you should own that niche and become the best at it and know, get as many contacts as possible and know as many people as possible. And you know, at the time I was new. I was on the TV show, but I, you know, was still kind of new to all this. So I just started reaching out to just people I wanted to get to know in the industry that I thought would be you know, good contacts in the future, and just kind of explaining that I was, you know, just getting started. And, you know, I just made a few contacts here and there, and that person led me to that person, and that person led me to that person. And then eventually, I just remember that I started pitching a few stories here and there, and they didn't really care about them. They were like, no, no one really cares about this. And I would just fight really hard for the story to go up. And I'm very persuasive. So eventually they would listen to me, and they would see how well the stories would do in traffic. And so they finally, as I moved up in rank at TMZ, my stories would do just as well in regards to wrestling, until finally they stopped giving me any pushback. And then, as you saw, there was tons of wrestling stories after that on TMZ.
Sure, yeah, definitely. Now, I recently watched a video of you speaking with a heated Ultimate Warrior. were there a lot of these moments when speaking with wrestlers that maybe we, the viewers, didn't really get to see?
I mean, there's definitely been a few. I mean, there's been a couple, yeah, but that's the worst one. But to be fair, like, the people in the past who've maybe been unhappy with me, or a story I've done, or things, or, you know, maybe just where I worked and things of that nature, like, you know, I understood most of the time, you know. But that one was just out of control, because I hadn't done anything in that situation. I mean, if you watch the video, it's hard to kind of tell what he's talking about in the beginning, but he's like yelling at me. Like, when he's like, where's your shit on me? Where's your shit on me? Like, what he's talking about is not a TMZ story. It started off by him saying to me, like, he's mad in general, and he's talking about how he's mad about the Ultimate Warrior DVD that got out back in the day. Because this is when he was still not really cool with WWE, and he was talking about the Ultimate Warrior DVD because at the time, he had put out these videos where he was putting Hulk Hogan on blast. Mm-hmm. And so he was going off on me because he was just in general angry that WWE had put out this DVD, and now he's doing this, and he's like, well, where's your shit on me in regards to that? Like, he's saying, like, where's your shit on me, talking back to WWE on what they did. And I'm like, hey, man, and I was so new there, so I'm like, hey, man, like, I'm with you. That was when I was still fighting to get wrestling stories up. So I was like, hey, man, like, I get it. And he did not care. Like, as you see in the video, he goes off on me. And yeah, it was but it's definitely an experience. I mean, not many people can say they had the Ultimate Warrior angrily yelling at them face to face in full makeup and jacket and all, you know?
Sure, definitely. Now, you know, there came a time too when TMZ seemed to be breaking a lot of WWE news specifically. And now even, you know, ESPN has kind of gotten on the bandwagon recently. Was that something WWE reached out to TMZ for, or was it the opposite? Or, I mean, all in all, do you think from TMZ to ESPN to any other news station, do you think that, you know, the mainstream news is kind of making wrestling more, I don't know, I want to say legit in a way? I don't know if that makes sense.
I mean, most of those, I would say 99% of those stories you're referring to were just stories that I worked on. So mm-hmm. You know, obviously I can't talk about my sources or where I get information from or things of that nature. But like, yeah, I mean, my whole thing when I was at TMZ, that was my goal was, you know, I felt like there was all these wrestlers who to millions of people are huge celebrities, you know, mm-hmm. and that I was at a place that was more mainstream, and I wanted to help these guys have a mainstream avenue, you know, wrestlers that I know to be super famous that I feel like for the most part get ignored in bigger media platforms and stuff like that. So that was more of a me thing. I was on a mission to get as much, you know, mm-hmm. coverage for them as possible because I love wrestling and I feel like they're just as big of celebrities as, you know, Lindsay Lohan, right? You know?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel vindicated that TMZ is continuing to run breaking wrestling news after you left, such as the most recent bombshell about Rusev and Lana?
100,000%. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I mean, like I was saying, the first story I started was Umaga, and they really only cared because he passed away. To go from that to, you know, TMZ breaking a big story like the Lana and Rusev thing, changing storylines because, you know, storylines being changed because of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I mean, it just makes me happy that, you know, I wasn't there to do that, and that they do care now, you know, that I've been able to help them realize that it's something that they should be paying attention to. And I hope more mainstream media does the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So on today's show, we're talking about the most famous wrestling storylines that became real. Do you have any of those that come to mind off the top of your head?
My favorite one would just be Edge and Lita and Matt Hardy, just because, you know, when you're a kid, things are so much cooler, you know, and just all, I just remember all that playing out with, excuse me, with Matt Hardy going to the indie scene for a minute and then coming back and jumping the railing and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that was like the only time, one of the times I thought Matt Hardy was going to win the world title, like in my head. I was a huge Hardy Boys fan and stuff, so definitely that one. Because to me, it's the one that people still point back to because it was just so real and so raw of what everything that happened, and they just put it out there, which I feel like in today's society, if a similar situation were to happen, they never would put it out there on TV like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what are your thoughts, too, on mainstream wrestling today? Because there's a lot of stuff going around to where, you know, oh, the ratings are falling. You know, WWE needs to do something with their show or I don't know. Do you feel like things are just falling apart with the 3 hours that they're given, at least WWE in their point of view?
Well, there's two answers to that. You know, in regards to the ratings, I think people pay way too much attention to ratings. I mean, that's why on my website, ProWrestlingSheet.com, like, I have not once – I do not ever plan to do ratings reports or anything like that, just strictly news, because it's like – I just feel like times are changing. I mean, I'm a big TV guy, too, because like I was saying, my dad – you know, I grew up kind of in the entertainment industry, so I'm a big TV guy as well, and – you know, I've seen how – I think even recently – I know that Fox – I'm pretty sure it was Fox that said they're not even paying attention to their ratings anymore, that they're disregarding the ratings system and that they're only paying attention to the TV3s and the TV5s and things of that nature. And I know more people are trying to push for that to happen. And it's just – things are changing. You know, I mean, I know so many people that watch TV strictly by downloading the shows on torrent sites, you know, and lots of people, and there's millions of people doing that, you know? And so, and the other crazy part is that such a large percentage of people think that when they're at home and they're watching TV, that it affects the ratings, which is crazy to me that they think that they don't realize that that's not the case. That because of the Nielsen rate, you know, because everything's based off of Nielsen's rating system, like there's only a select few boxes in the entire country that are set up for the Nielsen. So, I mean, people think that them watching them, a certain person watch that them at home watching matters when it doesn't, you know? And so,
sure, yeah.
So I think way too many people put stress on the ratings in general that, you know, I think things are changing. Times are different, and in like the next few years, I'm guessing all the Raws are going to be on the WWE Network, available the next morning, and it's going to be a whole different game. It's going to be a whole different situation. So yes, when it comes to ratings, I don't think it matters, but yeah, I mean it does feel like Raw is long, but that's not changing either, you know. And you know, I'm one of the most positive wrestling fans for the most part. You know, I don't tend to get too nitpicky about things, but you know, it's been a little weak lately. You know, it's not the best thing that I, you know, it's tough to watch sometimes for 3 hours, but the 3 hours isn't going anywhere, you know. But I wouldn't say it's falling apart necessarily, you know. I mean, sure. I actually, you know, I kind of, as much as I was like bummed about Sheamus winning the title, I kind of liked his whole promo on Raw when he was out there with New Day. And I kind of like – I know he looks kind of stupid with the mohawk, but the slicked back mohawk looked kind of cool. He looked kind of punk with the suit and the slicked back mohawk. I was kind of into it. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I mean, they're always two steps ahead of us, I always feel like. As much as we always want to feel like we're angry about it, we're not going anywhere. We're all going to be along for the ride, you know?
That's right. Now, also, you are also well-known to frequent many wrestling events in California, including PWG. What are your thoughts on the independent wrestling scene today?
It seems vibrant right now, you know? I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, I can't even keep up with everything going on in California sometimes. It's tough, you know, but... It seems great right now. I mean, there's a lot of places for people to work. I mean, if someone like Sami Callihan is comfortable leaving NXT to go back to the indies, then, I mean, and he's not the only one who's done it. There was like CJ Parker who recently did it, you know, and there's people who are who there's people making money, you know, from the indies and stuff that are, you know, the Young Bucks, they're signing exclusive deals with ROH so that they don't have to work all the indies anymore. I mean, the indies are alive and well. I mean, PWG is my favorite place to watch wrestling, and, you know, nothing tops PWG, but that, you know, I'm very biased since I'm at all those shows, you know, but, you know, it's great. I think the indies are great right now.
For someone who watches a lot of wrestling, you have to have some favorites. Who are some of your current favorite wrestlers today?
I love Zack Sabre Jr. That guy's awesome. Roderick Strong, Chris Hero, Ricochet. I mean, like, those guys right there alone are just like some of my, they're just some of my favorite wrestlers in general. I mean, their work just blows me away every time I watch them. PWG. I'm also a huge fan of Speedball Mike Bailey. My girlfriend and I are big fans of his. He's just, for those of you who aren't familiar with him, he's just like the little engine that could with like a karate gi on, and it's awesome. But I would say those are my favorite guys right now. I mean, I recently went to my first Lucha Underground taping, and I know that they're serious about spoilers, so I can't say too much, but it was like, it was so cool seeing, you know, Pentagon Jr. and Drago, and, you know, Drago, whatever the hell his name is, and all those guys. I mean, I saw him at Battle of Los Angeles as well, but, I mean, Marty Scurll. I mean, also, you know, when I was talking about the indies, not even out here, but, you know, with Progress in the UK, and there's ICW selling out huge shows and stuff. I mean, there's so much talent. It's hard for me. It's a very difficult question for you to ask, for me to answer my favorite wrestler right now. It's tough.
Sure, definitely. Hey, you just brought up Lucha Underground. I got a question about that, to where, what are your thoughts about seasons in wrestling? Granted, you know, like WWE and a lot of these guys, they're wrestling pretty much the whole year. And, you know, there's no downtime, there's no off time. But with Lucha Underground, you know, they filmed a season, you watch it, they're off for a few months, now they came back, filming season two. What are your thoughts about, could this, I don't know, one day be the new thing of just filming seasons? Or,
I mean, I highly doubt that it'll ever be the new norm, but it's not a bad concept at all. You know, I mean, it's better if there's like a longer term deal in place, like, you know, there's going to be a second season, and like this one, for example, with Lucha Underground, a lot of those guys were just up in the air about the situation, not knowing if there was going to be a second season or not. So, well, at least, you know, if it's something where they know there's going to be a second season and they can actually relax for those few months, then yeah, absolutely, it's a great concept, but I don't see that being something WWE ever adopts.
Yeah, can't stop the machine for what they do, but
no, definitely a publicly traded company can't have time off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously a fan of your caliber remembers a little show called WWE Confidential. If given the opportunity, would you like to have a show like that on maybe the WWE Network one day? Could we see,
with me on it? Or
with
just
you on it, yeah, your own, yeah.
I mean, I would love something like that, dude. If there's any producers from WWE Network listening, yeah, hit me up, dude, you know?
Now, after leaving TMZ, you decided to start ProWrestlingSheet.com. What was your motivation for starting this website?
Well, after leaving TMZ, I, because, you know, the whole time I was at TMZ, I was working on wrestling stories, but I was also working on non-wrestling stories. And the last few, you know, last year and a half, 2 years that I was there, I just was really, I enjoyed getting wrestling stories the most. You know, it made me the happiest. It was the most fulfilling stories to get, because I'm so connected with so many different fans, and I'm friends with so many of them, and I just like the community. They're very supportive of everything, of other wrestling fans in general and stuff. And so, you know, when I left, while trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my next step in life, you know, I just felt like, you know, I had so many people reaching out to me with stories still, and, you know, people hitting me up saying like, oh, we missed getting senior stories on sites and stuff like that. And, you know, I would go and I'd read other stories, and honestly, like, there was a lot of clickbait out there where just like, and it's not so, it was more just like, and I use that term loosely, but it was like a lot of times I would be on Twitter and stuff and I'd be wanting to read wrestling news.
Yeah.
And when I was at TMZ and I wanted to read wrestling news, if I saw something, I could, you know, if it was questionable where it was coming from, I could go work on it and find out if it was actually true or not. Well, then when I wasn't at TMZ anymore, it was like, well, I can't go do that. And I just was like reading so many stories and they were questionable things. Like, I'd click a link on Twitter and it would say, you know, what did Stephanie McMahon get Triple, or what did Stephanie McMahon get Vince for his birthday? And I would click the link, and it would not say in the link what Stephanie McMahon got Vince for his birthday, and it would drive me crazy. And so eventually, you know, I was like, I should just start my own website, you know, and I started, like, you know, I'd never built a website before, you know, even though I worked on the website for 6 years, I'd never actually made a website before. I knew how to navigate it all, but it was all a new thing for me. So I taught myself how to build the website, taught myself how to do a bunch of different things, you know, and started working on things behind the scenes, and taught myself how to record, edit a podcast, and as you know, it's not easy to do it first. And it's definitely when you're like, why are these mics all recording each other? Or like, yeah. or like, you know, I say the word like too much, which I've done here today, and I try my best not to say all the time, but I'm from California, so I can't help it. But yeah, so, you know, it was just a big learning process, you know, but I really wanted to, my main motivation behind it was just me personally, I wanted to go look at a website where I didn't have to pay for it and I could just read stories, not something where a bunch of things were bundled together. And it was, I wanted to read stuff that I could share on Facebook with my friends, you know, and a lot of times the way a lot of the websites were formatted, you didn't really cater to that, you know, to the Twitter and to the social media market of things. And I personally am a big social media person, so I wanted to be able to have a place where I could share the stories, where I could work on the stories that people actually care about, and where I didn't have to just only work on things where it was about a former WWE star or someone who was actually on TV at the moment, you know, where I know that there's a huge following for wrestling fans. And I mainly just wanted to give people a place where they could read stuff, a place where they could read news they could trust. You know, I don't put stuff up that I haven't fact checked myself, stuff that I don't feel, you know, I wish that everybody could see how much I stress before I post a story on my website. I mean, I'm like, fact check the crap out of every little thing that I put up, because I'm like, I don't want to put something up that's, you know, that's not true, you know? And so it's, you know, I've already had people try and lie to me about stories and get me to do fake stories, and I'm like, no, dude, that's not what I'm about. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give people a place where they can read honest news stories, where I'm not trying to trick anybody. You know, I'm not trying to take your money. I'm just trying to give you accurate wrestling news.
That's great. I mean, once again, I stress to our listeners too, ProWrestlingSheet.com. Please head there, check it out. Besides ProWrestlingSheet.com, though, can you let us know Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff? Let everybody know about it.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Ryan Satin on all social medias, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you can follow my website at Wrestling Sheet for exclusive updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, same thing, Wrestling Sheet, and you can check out my podcast, which is every Friday. It's available on all podcast platforms. It's called The Sheet Podcast, and yeah, we do a new episode every Friday where we basically discuss all the stories that we've posted on the website for the week, and just kind of go into more detail about each thing. You know, I'll talk about a few things that I wasn't able to fit in the full story just because it didn't fit. So, you know, you can listen to that and get exclusive news. You know, like this week we're going to talk about Sami Callihan and how he asked for his release because he wanted to reinvent himself and, you know, reinvent his image and show people that he was one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And, you know, we're going to be talking about how Rocky Romero was guest training in the WWE Performance Center this week and the exclusive story that we broke about it on our website. And same for Dewey Foley. It wasn't our exclusive story, but we got a few details on it, on Mick Foley's son being hired as a writing assistant for WWE Creative. And the other exclusive story, last one that we broke, about Brad Maddox, his new name that he is going to be using on the independent scene, Mad Braddox. So check it out.
Definitely. Ryan, you know, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. You know, please come back anytime, and we wish you nothing but success with ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Thank you very much. It was great to be on. I really appreciate it. I'm a fan of the show, and yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, once again, thanks to Ryan Satin. Everybody, make sure you check out ProWrestlingSheet.com for all the up-to-date breaking news in the professional wrestling world. But Jonathan, you know, the gifts keep on going from here. I got you this little gift right here.
Whoa. I know it's my birthday and yours coming up, but this is awesome. What is this? This is...
Open it up.
Well, okay. This is something that I've been looking forward to for a long time. This is my very first of many, mind you, pro wrestling crate. Steve, you shouldn't have. I'm just gonna paint. This is awesome. I am gonna paint this picture for all of you listening right now. If you are on the fence about getting a pro wrestling crate or starting your subscription, you really should look no further, because I am looking at the box right now. It's a blue and white box, and it has foreign objects all over the box. I see a guitar, some brass knuckles, a ladder, megaphone, the Mountie's shock stick. But the most important thing about the Pro Wrestling Crate here is that each month it's curated by another wrestler. So this month it's curated. It's a hardcore legend box, Mick Foley. So let's open this bad boy up. And right away I am greeted with a Dude Love coaster. It's awesome. And it says that there are four coasters of Foley, and you have to buy the next three boxes to get the rest of those. So that's awesome. First of all, Credo, I don't know what I deserve to get this, but I appreciate it, man.
Well, don't thank me. Thank ProWrestlingCrate.com, huh?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Go over to ProWrestlingCrate.com. Start your subscription. You can buy them, one box. You can buy for 3 months. You can buy for 6 months. Like, go over there, check it out. And I am seeing a legitimate bottle opener that says Mick Foley's Cheap Pop. This is awesome. It is got some girth to it. This is a real awesome thing. There's a button in here that says Hardcore Legend Mick Foley Pro Wrestling Crate. I see an exclusive PW Crate poster. It is a Mick Foley Socko poster. That is awesome. There is a discount for our friends over at Wrestle Ruse, so you get a 20% discount on any product over at WrestleRuse.com. I see a Mr. Socko can koozie. That is ridiculous, and I love it. And there's not one, but two Mick Foley professional wrestling shirts. This is a wrestling fan's dream. These crates are like $20 a piece. You are getting your a bargain here, Steve.
Because it's at least a $50 value, Jonathan. So you're definitely saving money. This is Christmas. It's time to save a few bucks and get a lot more in return, right?
Yeah, this is, if you are wanting to know more, Facebook at PW Crate, Twitter at PW Crate, on Instagram they are Pro Wrestling Crate. And be sure whenever you get your crate to take a picture and hashtag PW Crate. This, I'm telling you, is an amazing gift for anybody, a wrestling fan in your life. And I can't wait. Next month is curated by none other than the Blue Meanie, and it's all about hardcore wrestling and Philly. So it should be another amazing crate. And Steve, I think I just came up with something. Who knows? Someday there may be another pro wrestling crate.
Trademarked.
Yes. So we'll have to talk to the guys and see if we can get our own crate from them.
There you go. Once again, thanks a lot to ProWrestlingCrate.com. Make sure you check it out, especially for the holidays. It's the gift that keeps on giving, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan, we just spoke to Ryan Satin. If you did not know, you can also hear a lot of our interviews on our YouTube page on youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. That's another wrestling P-O-D. We put up all of our interviews on there. We put up a lot of YouTube exclusives, a lot of our live event interviews that we do. There's a whole new world on our YouTube page, so make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube right now. But Jonathan, we're talking about a lot of reality and stuff, and let's keep the ball rolling with that, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, today, I was looking online, and I've started to see a trend here, Steve, and maybe you've seen it too, and maybe all the listeners have seen it as well. But Rolling Stone has started to write articles on WWE and pro wrestling in general. ESPN has started to get their own coverage, exclusive coverage to WWE, and also TMZ, like we've mentioned, has started breaking wrestling news. Do you think that that means that wrestling as a whole is becoming more credible, and that people view it as a legitimate sport? Or do you think that this is just a way for them to kind of cash in on the popularity of professional wrestling?
Jonathan, I've heard this a few years ago, and I honestly think Triple H said it in an interview. I think the U.S. is probably the only place, or at least one of the minorities, that don't cover pro wrestling like the rest of the world. I mean, if you go overseas, especially Japan and whatnot, you go to a newspaper, look in your newspaper, you get your basketball scores, you get your football scores, you also get your pro wrestling winners, losers, your updates in it. So pro wrestling's covered around the world in newspapers, on TV, unlike America. And it's kind of, it's definitely, you know, coming to fruition, I guess, if you will. It's definitely seen the light of day over here now, you know, with ESPN, with TMZ, with Rolling Stone, all this kind of stuff, given this mainstream media that it rightfully deserves, you know what I mean? To where, you know, pro wrestling, a lot of people look at it as, it's pro wrestling, we get it, you know, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of people that want to know about it. They want to know who won. They want to know who lost. They want to know the news. And, you know, regardless of what you have to think about pro wrestling, it's still mainstream. You know what I mean? It's still, you know, people want to hear it. And by doing this in America now, especially with ESPN and TMZ, it's definitely legitimizing it like it never has before and putting it in that, you know, that light, that spotlight of, you know, giving it, I want to say more credibility, but not necessarily that, but, you know, just more, I'm trying to think of the words to say, but, you know, it just makes it more that reality, you know, it's that reality era, if you will, of a wrestling. So it's definitely worth it. And like I said, I just heard him say that a few years ago in an interview to where, you know, like how wrestling is viewed around the world and how we barely don't even talk about it in our news around here.
Yeah, and one of the things is I think it has to do with the amount of fans that there are nowadays. Back when the Attitude Era was going on, I was from a small town in southern Indiana, and in our bigger newspaper, the one that you could get in Evansville, Indiana, every Sunday they would have pro wrestling tidbits. So it would talk about a pay-per-view, or there was a column about pro wrestling, and that was in, you know, the Attitude Era when wrestling was really, really popular. And I think wrestling's kind of turned a corner again with independent wrestling, with, you know, mainstream wrestling, that people want to know more about it. So you've got Total Divas, that's kind of their own brand now. You've got, you know, all these network shows that people are watching. So they're kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit, but people love to know about wrestling. I remember whenever TMZ broke the story about, you know, Triple H cutting his hair. Like, it was such a small thing, and I was saying, who in the world would care about that? But, like, sure enough, it's on all the news sites, and, you know, so it's one of those things that as Rolling Stone starts to cover, as ESPN starts to cover, I think it will give it more credibility, and I think that it can only be good for professional wrestling to get that, you know, mainstream spotlight instead of, like, the National Enquirer or, you know, some, you know, backyard homegrown kind of dirt sheet. You know, these are credible news sources that are talking about wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of like what they're doing now too, like especially at least for WWE. Like, I think once a week Michael Cole does an interview. He was doing it with Triple H for a while, then he would do a superstar, you know, talk to him, and that's great and all, but, you know, like, by giving, like, ESPN an exclusive, or letting them break news, you know, or TMZ, you know, break some news out there, you know, it's great. It definitely just makes your product more rounded, well-rounded, I guess you could say, just versatile in the media industry. Because, like, you know, you put on any news show, they're always talking with athletes. They're talking with football players, baseball players, basketball players, you know, interviewing them. I want to hear from pro wrestlers, you know, because regardless of what you have to say about pro wrestling, it's probably one of the most athletic sports anybody could do. So if you want to talk to a basketball player who's making $1 million a year for dribbling a basketball for an hour. You know, I want to talk to the guy who's actually going out there every single night, you know, 365 days a year doing this. And I want to hear from them. You know, I want to hear their point of view, especially recently, too. Like ESPN did the E360. They did one on Scott Hall, which was awesome. You know, even like the network now, even showing that Breaking Ground, how it's kind of like, you know, pulling that curtain away a little bit and showing the superstars or how becoming superstars. You know what I mean? It's not the whole tough enough kind of aspect it was, but it's kind of a little bit more in depth, a little bit more reality TV show, but not scripted reality TV show. Like, this is legit, like what's happening. And it's definitely, you know, they definitely have something going these days with that. And I think, you know, it's only the beginning. And I can't wait to see more just in mainstream media alone.
Absolutely. Now, friends, listeners, if you enjoyed the show, and I'm sure you did, you know, you can head on over to facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Get interactive with us. Talk to us. Tell us what you like about the show, what you didn't like. And, you know, be sure to follow us on all forms of social media. But most importantly, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Steve, I don't want to say anything just yet, but there are some big things coming.
Don't say it just yet. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, what's that?
there are some huge, I said big, that's an understatement. There are some huge things coming from Another Wrestling Podcast, so stay tuned into 2016. Hang out with us, and you'll start to see those things happen sooner rather than later. So I want to thank you all for listening.
And if you like our show, guys, make sure to check out some of our friends. Check out Main Event Marks. Head on over to facebook.com/Main Event Marks. You can join Angry Cooter and his panel of smart Main Event Marks every Thursday at 9 p.m. for an uncensored show for the Marks by the Marks.
That's right, and we are here to spread the wealth. If you love professional wrestling, we urge you to go over to pwpnation.com. PWP Nation is a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to pwpnation.com.
Also, be sure to head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com. It launched in August of this year, and it strives to report on the stories you actually care about in the world of professional wrestling, not just clickbait, filling most news sites. Founder and editor-in-chief Ryan Satin previously worked as a senior producer for TMZ.com, where he has helped the company become a force in wrestling reporting, largely in part to his exclusive stories he landed on a constant basis. Make sure you head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
If you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can go show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do the show without you, so tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.